Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to answer the question, is there too much SaaS?
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So this is another infamous episode that's based on a tweet that you made, and that tweet was based on a ton of work and exposure that you've had in this area, I assume. But you recently tweeted something that stood out to me, and it kind of stirred the pot a little bit. A lot of friends, a lot of people that are respected in the SaaS space responded to it in one way or another. So I felt like that's the perfect material to unpack for our listeners. So let me ask you, maybe you tell people a little bit about that tweet and what preceded that, like what made you write about that. And then let's just unpack this question, if there's too much SaaS, and what does that mean for founders out there that are currently building their first SaaS product or running a small SaaS product?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of SaaS. So what I tweeted was this idea that you don't talk to people and they're like, hey, I want more software, you know?
Yeah.
And the reason I tweeted that is because people are building a lot of software right now. There are new sort of products coming into the market all the time in almost every category. And there's people making like very good living building the software too. So the comment was more like, you know, I see a lot of software that's being built, and then, you know, whether it's like no code or things that people are just building really quickly and then kind of considering it a project, and then they end up moving on. And so that's one scenario. Another scenario is I think there's all kinds of bottlenecks in selling today, that selling SaaS that just didn't exist before because there was less SaaS. So we're seeing things like if you're in certain markets, you need a number of features that are parity for the market, which basically means it takes you more effort, more time to build the product you need to build. And you might take it to market and people might have expectations that you were not even expecting until you actually built it and gave it to them. So yeah, there's just a lot going on in the world when it comes to software and SaaS and kind of all aspects of it. So that's kind of where it came from. I've interviewed a ton of people about all the different tools they use and all kinds of different sort of configurations in terms of the interviews, from like understanding why people switch different document apps all the way to general customer development on like things like how many apps you use, how are they bought, stuff like that. So yeah, there's a lot going on in the world. SaaS is just sort of a delivery mechanism for the kind of value that a customer needs. And I think all that stuff can be easily forgotten when you're building, and especially when you start talking to people, because they're not going to tell you they don't want more SaaS, but they're not going to tell you they want more SaaS either. And we're kind of in this weird spot where like a lot of people are just creating more software, adding more features to their software. And yeah, I guess I just wanted to say something about it. So that's what I said. But high level, like there's a lot of SaaS.
There's a lot. And remember that chart that every year was published by some site?
Yeah, the marketing tech one.
Yeah. And it was doubling. It was like 2,000, then 4,000, 8,000, whatever. I think the last one that I saw was like close to 10,000. I don't know if they published a new one this year. But it was like doubling, but the numbers, obviously, you know, the numbers became very, like every category and every vector was like more and more and more and more crowded. And so there was this idea that I remember even us discussing on the podcast of like, you know, it's easier than ever to build a SaaS product, and it's easier than it used to be to get the early traction. But maybe after the first couple of thousand in MRR, maybe it'll start becoming harder than ever to maintain that momentum, just because the moment you get slightly up and running, you're running into so much competition and so many customer expectations that it's really hard to keep up as a super tiny company. Now, this is not the first time that this trend happens in software, where you have this trend to consolidation, like the one tool in the B2B world, the one tool to rule them all, right? We just want to buy one piece of software that just does everything that we need in our business. And then, we know, it was obviously led to these overly bloated products that couldn't do a single thing as uniquely well as people wanted. And then there was this counter trend where all of a sudden we had this like kind of decoupling of a B2B software where for every little thing you would do in some other product that already exists, now there was a tool that allowed you to do it faster, simpler, more elegantly, maybe better. And now we're too much of that. So there's kind of a, it seems like we're swinging back in the trend of customers saying we're overwhelmed by the amount of tools our team uses. Everything doesn't talk well to each other. We're overwhelmed. And the last thing we want is to continue to purchase more and more and more software. We just want something that integrates well and that does most of it. Do you think that's going to be a trend that we're going to see kind of gain steam over the next couple of years? And then will it swing back again? Or will something else happen? Like, I know, obviously, you don't know, but I'm just curious, you know, how you would bet the market goes over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I don't see it slowing down. I really don't. I see us having more software. Hmm. It's just so easy to build. And there's so many like different needs out there that are niched up where a little tweak to your software can get you, like you said, those first early customers. And the thing is, like for some people, that couple thousand bucks in MRR and growing even slowly could be something that they desire. And it's actually very like, you know, like you get to a certain amount of recurring revenue and you're able to sort of not have to work for money at least. Mm-hmm. And that means more traditional, like a job or something. So I just see more. I see a lot more.
And so do you think that, so if I'm a founder today, right? And I read maybe, or let's say I'm somebody that wants to become a founder. And for the past maybe 2 years, I've been reading online about entrepreneurship. I started reading a bunch of stuff about SaaS and starting something as a single founder in the SaaS space. And now I'm just getting ready to be like, you know what? I'm going to jump into the cold water and do this. Should I be worried that maybe the stuff that I read is outdated and if I start building something small now, maybe I'll never get traction because it's too crowded? Or is it just coming back to the core principle of you just better be really, really certain you understand the customer, you better be really, really certain you're differentiated, you better be really, really certain you understand something about how you're going to go to market and grow this thing? Or would you advise somebody coming to you today and saying, I want to be an entrepreneur. What is a good space to go in? Should I do SaaS or e-commerce or something else? Would you still advise people to do SaaS?
I think there's a lot of ways to make money. So like it depends if they're able to build SaaS, like a software on their own or not. So if they're an engineer, yeah, I'd say absolutely build something or teach people something. And if you're not an engineer, then I would say go teach people something, you know, and build some cash so you can spend it on building SaaS if that's kind of the direction you go in. So build an audience that you sell something to would be the first thing I would do.
Yeah, yeah. What about people that have a SaaS company up and running that maybe the last year, you know, or in the early days, they were hyper-focused, they were very differentiated. And as they've grown, they just kept adding features. And now they're at this point where they are wondering, should we expand drastically and try to become this like platform of sorts that does most of the things? But then we might be competing with much bigger competition that already does this. Or should we try to kind of stay true to this idea that we're going to stay a smaller, quote unquote, better product that's not bloated, not complicated? How would you make that decision today in terms of like, you know, you've been already up and running for a year or two. The early recipe to success was being simple and being specialized. But now you kind of have this market pull of adding more and more and more feature, of competing naturally with bigger competition. And you're wondering, are we going down a path that we're not ready to succeed at because we just are still a tiny team and we're self-funded or customer-funded? And the companies that we would compete against that are like kind of all-encompassing, they have a lot more money, a lot more people. So is it kind of a trap or is it maybe the direction that every SaaS company today that wants to maintain fast growth just has to take?
I think it just goes back to the customer. What is the problem you're solving for the customer in either of those scenarios? And if the customer, if there are customers out there and you can reach them at a profit, then why would you add anything? Like, if the features you have are good and there's no problem to solve, don't solve a problem that doesn't exist. And so I look at it more like that. I don't think it's an absolute that all software needs to turn into all-in-one. Mm-hmm. I also think like customers are kind of different across the board. So it depends what you're building and kind of who's competing with you and what the alternatives are. A lot of times I think that you'll see, I think one more commonplace thing happen more and more, which is people competing on price.
Mm.
So that's kind of what I mean. If you compete on price, let's say with HubSpot, you're going to end up building as much as you can to kind of have feature parity with HubSpot. So in a way, you know, it has a lot to do with your point of view more so than anything else and what you believe customers need. Hopefully they're pulling product out of you. If they're not pulling product out of you, where like they have more needs that they want you to solve, that's where you kind of run into a problem because you just won't know what to do. And then you might go do all the things that you see in the market out there, regardless of what maybe people would actually buy from you. You see that a lot.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. I think this is it for this episode. So cool. I think we answered the question, is there too much